Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd like to turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, which means beginnings. Chapter 18, I'm going to read 16 verses this morning. Learning about the life of Abraham, a great man of faith. True story. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. And he said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abram and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'" Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." And when the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. May God give us understanding of his word this morning, this true story. In this chapter, we're going to learn how three individuals show up around midday, when Abraham was sitting in the doorway of his tent where it was cool, where it was in the shade. And the title of this message, and I've been giving my messages titles since this pandemic hit, because I've been getting out the devotionals by letter and also on the internet. This title is "Guess Who's Coming to Dinner." Guess who's coming to dinner? Remember that? Probably some of you I'm not old enough to remember that title of that movie. Spencer Tracy, Catherine Hepburn, and Sidney Poitier. And it was called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. But this is not talking about Sidney this morning. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, again, we want to thank you again. It's such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord with the Lord's people. We need understanding. Speak to us through this message that we have prepared for each one of us, not just as a group. May we be tuned in. May we be focused. May our ears and our minds and our hearts be open to receive your word to each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we learned from last week's the chapter 17. God had given Abraham and his wife new names. Before he was Abram, she was Sarai. Now he is Abraham, she is Sarah. And gave the promise again. This is about the fifth time the Lord had met with him, give him that promise that from him, from his seed, would come a great nation, and all the world would be blessed. And from his seed there would be kings. Kings would come through his seed, through his line. And that includes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So in that culture, a typical response when people came to visit, the host would get up and wait for them to approach the home, in this case a tent. We're not talking about a little pop tent, we're talking about a huge tent like a house. And even though Abraham was 99 years old, he ran out to meet these guests. There was three of them, and he was concerned about these visitors. They would suffer under the heat of the midday sun. And he realized that these three were no ordinary people. They looked like men. Two of them were angels. Angels can take the form of men. And one of them was the Lord Jesus. This is a pre-incarnate visit. Don't forget, we've talked about this. It's a theophany. God has always existed. Jesus is God. And he appeared to various people before he was born in Bethlehem as a human being. And Jesus is also a man, amen? Jesus is also a man, he's also God. And these three people appeared to Abraham outside in the midday. And Abraham realized he's already had dealings with the Lord before. He'd met the Lord before. He'd heard from the Lord before. He's heard these promises from the Lord before. And he realized this was no ordinary man. This was Jesus himself. Because he said he ran out to meet them and he bowed to the ground. He bowed to the ground. We're talking about a 99-year-old man. Some people wouldn't have been able to get up at that age. And he lay prostrate, which is normally reserved for royalty or deity. And Jesus is God. Jesus is deity. Amen. So Abraham was well acquainted with the Lord by this time. He would have instantly recognized him because God had spoken to him before. He appeared to him many times. And now we get a glimpse into Abraham's character here. That he was an hospitable man. Are you hospitable? In England, we have a culture, and my beautiful daughter-in-law, Janelle, went to Leicester University, my home city. And when you go to visit somebody, they immediately ask you if you would like a cup of tea. Right? That's just a cultural thing. Here, not so much. I used to visit somebody every week and I was lucky to get a glass of water. I had to ask for it. Hey, have you got any water? Oh, yeah. But over there, it's normal. In their culture, in Abraham's day, people were very, very, or they ought to have been, very hospitable. And he was. And he was also very friendly. And he had a heart of a servant. We're talking about a very rich and powerful man at this time. Even though he was rich and though he was powerful, and he had servants of his own, slaves, no doubt, he didn't think twice about offering these strangers hospitality. He offered them a drink of water and also water to wash their dirty feet. Remember, they just wore sandals in those days. Very dusty climate, very dirty climate. He offered them, here's the water. You wait under the Mamre tree where it's nice and shady. Wash your feet, have a drink of water. And I'm going to ask my missus to prepare you some pancakes. That's what it says, right? It says pancakes, doesn't it? They're all looking down. That's what it is. Hot cakes, says bread. It's the same thing. Flour and water, whatever. So he rushes in again. This guy's rushing around. Unbelievable. 99 years old. And he hurried in to his wife, Sarah. Says, hey, honey. That's what it says, right? Rustle up some pancakes. We've got three guys out here, and they're hungry. So, okay. So she rustles up some. It's going to take some time. It's not like today. You know, if you just want something to eat, or if visitors come, you just grab something out the freezer, right? Or then you throw it in a pan, or turn the cooker on, and you've got instant heat, or you can throw it in the microwave. They had nothing like that. Then, and even now, in most third world countries, it takes quite some time to prepare something to eat. How come? Well, first of all, you've got to grow the food, right? Then you've got to go out and cut the wood in order to make fire to cook the food on. And then it takes time to prepare and cook the food. So, these guys apparently were in no hurry. So Abraham was very hospitable. And now we believers are commanded to be hospitable. In Hebrews chapter 13, 1 and 2 says, here's another command. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. And do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels unawares. You may have met people that you thought were people, but actually they're really angels. You didn't know they were. So the visitors eating this little appetizer, these little hot cakes. Now they're in for a real treat. They were not vegetarians, apparently. And it's amazing to me that they were able to eat. These are two angels and the Lord Jesus. One day we're going to meet the Lord in heaven, and we're going to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to sit down with the Lord and eat food. I mean, it's just astonishing. We'll have a resurrected body by then. And that resurrected body of yours and mine will be able to eat. Don't ask me to try to explain it. It's inexplicable. Believe it by faith. That's what the word says. Anyway, they're in for a treat now. They had the little appetizer. Now they're going to get the main course. Can't you just wait for the main course? My wife says, best to eat dessert first because the rapture may come. Okay. So Abraham wanted to prepare something. You know, when you've got guests and the special people in your life, you want to prepare something special for them, don't you? Something special, all right? And Abraham wanted to do that. And he's going to give him a three-course meal here. And again, he ran to the herd, 99 years old, and he picked out the fattest, juiciest calf. And he told his servant, or one of his servants, kill it, dress it, prepare it. Don't put a dress on it. Kill it, prepare it, and let's have a nice roast veal for dinner. It's making my mouth water already. Roast veal, delicious. You ever had roast veal? So when all was ready, and the three of them were having this delicious roast dinner, Abraham didn't join them. He was off to the side, attending to their every needs. Why? He had a servant's heart. That was for them. That was specially prepared for his guests, not for him. And he was off to the side, attending to every whim and need of these special guests. Now we need to remember the promises of God. And one promise that is made to us, that our God will provide for your needs, for every need, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Have you discovered that? Is there any of us that lack anything? Well, $1 million, but I'm not on about. We've got food, don't we? We've got clothing. We've got a home to live in. And every good gift comes from the hand of the Lord. Remember that. He's always going to provide for our needs, no matter what. Now, even though Abraham was almost 100 years old, he was still willing to serve other people. Why? Because he had a servant's heart. God is our creator. He created us. He died for us. He saved us. And he wants us to follow Jesus' example. Listen to this. Jesus is the greatest example. Amen. Because he was wonderful. Is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus called the disciples together and said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10. Whatever we do for others, we should do it with the attitude that we're serving Jesus, that we're doing it for Jesus, who also said, I tell you the truth, and he always told the truth. Whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you do for me. He said, even if you give a glass of water, it's like giving it to Jesus himself. So we should have that attitude, the same attitude as Jesus had, to be a servant. He didn't come to serve. He came to be a servant, not to serve, but to serve. Anyway, I'll get it right in a minute. You know what I mean? So don't ever say, no one ever notices what I do. No one gives me any credit for what I do. No one shows me any gratitude for what I do. Nobody appreciates what I do. And even other people, they don't give you any credit, and nobody sees what you do. God does. God does. Amen. We aim to please him. That's right. We aim to please him, because you can't please everybody. You can please some people some of the time, but you can't please people all of the time. Have you found that? We're the same. So again, verse 10, Jesus confirms his covenant with Abraham, tells him his wife's going to give birth to a baby, boy, in about a year from now. This is like about 3 months after his previous visit that we read about last week in chapter 17. Remember when he said he revealed himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty? Now, God wanted him to know that he would do the impossible. Only God can do the impossible and provide a son for Sarah. And Abraham believed it by faith. Remember that he laughed within himself at the prospect of his wife giving birth at that age. But he didn't doubt. However, his wife, Sarah, she didn't have the same amount of faith as Abraham did. Her faith wasn't as strong as her husband's. And this is why God appeared to them at this particular time. He came to visit them, in particular to encourage her, to comfort her, and to strengthen her faith in him, her weak faith. Now, she was standing inside the tent when God reminded Abraham what he was going to do and to provide a son through his wife. She, what is an expression that they use in my home city called earwigging. You don't use that here? Earwigging. Eavesdropping. If there was a keel, she'd get an earache. But it was a tent, so they didn't have any locks or keys unnecessary. So she was listening in. She was eavesdropping, having cooked those pancakes. And she's inside the tent, listening to the Lord's promise if she would give birth to a son. And having heard that, she also laughed within herself. But her laughter was more of a skeptical sneer. It wasn't the same kind of laughter that Abraham had and did. And then she said to herself, amusingly, and it is funny, after I am worn out, and my Lord is old, he's going to be 100 by this time, will I now have this pleasure? Now, you could take that either way. And it probably applies both ways. But the pleasure of giving birth to a son. I mean, it's pretty painful. I've never given birth. Thank God that I was born a little boy. But those poor ladies have to go through it. They do suffer incredibly. And I was right there along with my wife suffering with her. I was watching tennis, right? You know, what can I do? I was with you in spirit, you know. But great pleasure. Once you give birth, but going through that process is no fun at all. I wouldn't know, but I've seen it happen. Sarah found the prospect of giving birth to a child totally laughable. It is kind of funny and impossible. She knew, like we do, that humanly speaking, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely impossible. But Jesus said, with man, all things are possible. But with God, with man, this is impossible. Right? But with God, all things are possible. All things. How many is all things? All things. So the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. That's a scary thought for a start. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. And he heard Sarah's thoughts, listening inside the tent and what Jesus had told Abraham, that she would give birth a year later from now. And she heard, and God wanted to encourage her to believe, to help her lack of faith, her unbelief, by declaring. He said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Now, we need to hold on to this promise. Is anything too hard for the Lord? With God, nothing is impossible. With man, all things are impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, we need to remember this verse. When everything seems hopeless, there is hope. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Do you believe that? No. Now, and then Sarah lied about laughing at the prospect of giving birth at 90 years old. She must have been embarrassed when the Lord corrected her and he said, "You did lie." She said, "You didn't, but I know you did." No. So if we're going to finish strong on our journey of faith, we need to listen to our God-given conscience. The Holy Spirit will prompt us, and then by the grace of God, we can make the necessary changes and not make excuses, just like Sarah did. Because he sees through all that. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. He knows how much faith we have. He knows how much little faith that we have. But he said, all you need is a little faith as big as a mustard seed and you can move mountains. All you need is a little faith. And he wanted to encourage Sarah to have more faith and trust him and believe him like Abraham did, her husband. So I want to close with this true story. It's a story in the Bible. A man brought his son to Jesus. Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He'd left his disciples down there. And this man had brought his son to the disciples. His son was possessed of an evil spirit. And nobody could help him. From early age, this little poor boy, he wasn't able to speak. And he wasn't able to hear. And the demon inside him would make the child throw himself on the fire or into water and try to kill the little boy. So imagine being the mother or the father of that little child. And he tried everything to get the help for this hopeless case, seemingly. And the little boy, he would foam at the mouth and he would gnash his teeth and he would become rigid. So the father came, when Jesus came down, he came to Jesus hopelessly, that he was hoping that Jesus could help him. And he begged Jesus to help him, to help his suffering child. And he tried everything there was to try to get some help, but to no avail. He even asked Jesus' disciples before that. They couldn't help him. And Jesus says, "You of little faith." That was why they couldn't help him. And then the man said to him, and he pleaded with Jesus. He said, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And then Jesus said, "If you believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father, he cried out with tears in his eyes. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And then Jesus saw the people running. And then he rebuked the unclean spirit in that little boy. And he said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter no more. And then the spirit cried out, and it convulsed the boy greatly. And then it came out of him. And he became as one dead. And the ones that were there saw it, and they said, he is dead. The child is dead. The boy is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. He was alive, alive. Now, when we lack faith like Sarah did, we need to remember what the Lord has said in his word. Believe his promises. Believe what he says in his word. And do what it says in his word. You always got to remember the Lord is on our side. And when we do lack faith, because we're human from time to time, we must believe God's promises. And we need to humbly pray like that father. Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. We always remember that he is holding our hand. He's going to lift us up when no one else can. When everything is seemingly against us. And our dreams are shattered. And our world has been rocked. Our faith in him is totally reliant. He is the rock that never changes. We can hold on to him. He will never move. And the question is, do we believe that? Do we believe it by faith? Only God can turn the impossible into reality. Only God can turn the impossible into reality. Let's close in a word of prayer. You tell us, Lord, that with man, things are impossible, but with you, nothing is impossible. Of course, we've all been given a free will, and you won't encroach upon that. But we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful that you came to us. You chose us. You called us by your grace. You saved us because you had compassion on us. You saw us lost, without hope in this world, fumbling around, being controlled by the God of this world, deceived, we didn't even know it. But by your grace, you revealed Jesus to us. Now, there may be somebody listening to this message. You've never received Jesus. You've heard about Jesus. You may have seen the movies and may have read about him in the Bible. So he was a good man, went about doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, and then he died on a cross. But you got to realize that he died for you. He died for your sins. He took the punishment that you deserve for the sins that you've done wrong in your life, that you will do wrong. He was the only one that was prepared to do it. He paid the sacrifice. He paid the price that you couldn't pay to bring us to God. And he did die. He was buried, but then he rose again from the dead. He's the only one who ever did that. And he showed himself alive to many witnesses. He is alive. And he or she who has the Son of God, has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you want to obtain spiritual life, if you want peace on earth and a guaranteed home in heaven, you must call upon Jesus to save you, to save your soul. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So by faith, if you believe those promises, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead, and you truly believe that in your heart, you will be saved. So I hope and pray that you will. As for the rest of us, regardless of what happens in this world, we have an anchor fastened to the rock which cannot move. And our world is going to be rocked one way or another in this world. But Jesus says, even though you're going to get trouble, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Let's hold on to the rock which cannot move. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.